Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Momano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today I have on the show a great Rochester business mover and shaker, Greg Lederman from Brand Integrity. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
You are not only a great business person here in Rochester for how many years now?
Brand Integrity started in 2002, so 16 years.
16 years. You're a friend. I met you years ago. Can't remember how. Was it through EO? I think
I felt through EO. I was speaking at an EO event.
Is that how I first met you?
Yep.
Okay, very good, very good. So, Greg, I want to read your bio. You know, a lot of people do know of you and know of your company. You've done very well as a business owner, and really not because you're just doing business in Rochester. I mean, you're all over the country, and I'm going to take a guess that you probably have some international clients as well. So while you're based here, you're doing business all over the world. So I really want to dig deep into what you do and what makes your company special as opposed to some of the other people doing it out there, and just so we can really learn more about kind of the special sauce that Brand Integrity has. So Greg, I'm going to read your bio, and then we'll dig into it. So Greg Lederman has become known as a leading authority for creating more employee engagement at work. Over the past decade, more than 65% of his clients have been on the best places to work list, either in the region, industry, or on the Fortune 100 best companies to work for annual ranking. Today, you will learn their special secret to success. You will find out how leaders in these organizations maximize employee motivation and commitment by fueling the work environment with what people crave. In addition to being a coveted keynote speaker, Greg is the author of two award-winning books. His most recent book, Engaged, was a New York Times, Amazon, and USA Today bestseller and was selected as a best business book of the year by Soundview Executive Book Summaries. His newest book coming out, Crave, 10 Minutes by Friday to Enhance Motivation and Accelerate Business Results, will be published in early 2018. Greg is a high-energy, dynamic speaker who will show you the power of committing to the 10 Minutes by Friday habit that will help you enhance employee engagement, improve your work culture, and ultimately lead to more profitable and loyal customers. Greg is the CEO of Brand Integrity, an employee engagement company. He is also an adjunct professor at the Simon School at the University of Rochester, where he teaches executive MBAs how to become more effective and trusted leaders in his course called Leading Organizational Change. Greg, that was phenomenal. That was probably one of the best bios I ever read. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to hear, we're going to dig into exactly what you do, but how did it all start? Take me back to, you said 2002 you started. What were you doing in 2001 and before? And what was the path to saying, you know what, I'm going to start a company that's going to help people have better cultures, branding, et cetera?
It actually starts back in the early 90s. I had an opportunity to get into the bakery and ice cream business with my cousin Tim, who was a baker by trade. And we had bought Buckman's Bakery and Ice Cream, which was about to go into bankruptcy out on Ridge Road in Long Pond.
I remember that place, yeah.
So yeah, I scrounged up every penny I could get to put a little down payment on that, and we went into business together. And it was the night before we were starting that business, I was reading a story in Fortune magazine about Scott Cook, who was the CEO of a little tiny company called Intuit. Intuit has, I don't know, 20 yep. to 30,000 employees now, but they had 100 back then, and they created some accounting software. And what was really interesting in this article was they were talking about the principles of which Scott was running this tiny little software business for accounting software, which today is QuickBooks for those of you people who aren't familiar with the name Intuit. But anyway, I was fascinated by the fact that he had these eight guiding principles, which were actually behaviors for how we act at work. And so I sat down at that moment and said, you know what, when we start at Buckman's tomorrow, what are the behaviors you'd want to start with? And put together what I called the Buckman's experience, which were basic behaviors like smile and greet customers by name. You know, if you don't know their name, ask them their name. You know, remember what people order. You know, have it ready for them if you see them coming in. Like basic customer service wow moments, if you will. And so Tim and I took over Buckman's, and we introduced those behaviors. We managed to those behaviors. We made them part of how we hired people. It was part, we put an employee recognition program around it. And long story short, We sold the business 3 years later. This is where I ended up at the Simon School, and finished getting my MBA there in the late 90s and said, I want to go help other companies do what we did at Buckman's. And that's how we started Brand Integrity. And the concept was simple. You achieve brand integrity when you are who you say you are. You know, people would see the name and think we're a marketing company. Well, we've never produced any marketing materials, no marketing consulting. It's not an ad agency. It's a leadership development and employee engagement company was the whole idea. But it was about taking your values off the walls and making sure that you got them into the halls, that people knew how to actually live your values.
Yeah.
And so
I love that.
That's what we started with. It was just consulting around.
Take it off the walls. And put it in the halls. I like that.
That was the whole idea. It started as nothing more than a consulting company to define your values and integrate it into your people systems. But what we realized pretty quickly back in the early 2000s was you have to have some technology behind this. And then today with the advent of social media, creating a social platform for sharing those stories has really become the bulk of our business.
So it's funny. I have talked to people today and sometimes they're surprised that they're getting really good results by just doing what they said they were going to do. And like, yeah, they're really happy. I delivered the proposal on time. And like, isn't it weird that you stand out just by kind of like keeping to your word?
No, you're spot on with that. I mean, think about that. That's pretty much par for the course to have a consistently good experience. So the organizations that can be really good at doing what they say they do, they tend to stand out.
Yeah.
It's becoming harder and harder. I was standing in line at a retailer twice actually this week, and I'm just shocked that they're not opening more registers. You know, we're not talking about Wegmans here. We're talking about other places that just don't get it. That, you know, you have a line of people doing holiday shopping. You have 7 registers closed and 1 open. Like, how can you let that be?
Right.
You know, you can chalk that up to, well, personnel's too expensive, but the reality is they're not maximizing what they can get out of people, and they don't care enough. And so if they don't care enough, they're not going to deliver that consistently great experience.
Well, then it's easy to go to Amazon.com instead of that retailer today. So I think
precisely.
They got to work even harder.
But think about Amazon, though, here. In addition to being a great price and getting it to you quickly, they've eliminated service. They've eliminated service. You don't need service with them. Like Jeff Bezos says it best. He says,
one click.
The best, and this is our motto here with our technology, because we have a very lean service department here, because we have the same motto as Jeff Bezos. We learned from him at Amazon, which is the best service, no service.
Don't even need it.
You don't need service.
It's so good.
That's what we strive for every day.
Yeah. Well, Amazon, you're right. I mean, that
from a technical support perspective. I mean, from on the consulting side, there's a ton of service in what we do. But as far as, like, I think 80, 90% of our service requests here over the last better part of the last decade are, I forgot my password to log into the system. It's like 80 to 90% every month.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you can handle that pretty quickly.
Yeah. Usually if they click the right button, they can get it themselves.
Right. Then again, they don't need the service. Yeah. Well, I think the best thing about Amazon, or the best invention that Jeff Bezos, whoever on the team invented it, was that one-click button.
Yep.
I spent more money, and my wife has spent more money on that one-click button, and then a day later or 2 days later, it's at my doorstep, right?
So it's incredible.
But
sometimes it beats me home, I think.
Yeah. It's like a drone chasing you, right?
It's amazing. And you know what? It transfers here, too. I bet if you talk to Megan, our office manager, she would tell you that.
Yeah.
I bet it's probably 2/3 of our office supplies, though, anything we buy for the office is right through Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's with $100 a year for Prime shipping, and you don't even need the service.
Right.
But that's, you know, one in a million businesses. The rest of us, we all have to survive on getting our people engaged to deliver really good, if not sometimes great, service.
Yep. Hey, Greg, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Automotive, travel, finance, home repairs, fine living, and more. It's Lifestyle Weekends on 1310 WOKR.
Hey folks, Dave Mamano here, host of Avanti Entrepreneur Radio. I'm here to welcome a new sponsor to my show. It's One Down Consulting. A friend of mine, Ron Willie, owns the company. And, you know, I look back at when I started in sales and I had a Rolodex and a phone. And we all have access today to the best sales and marketing technology, but most of us are not using it effectively. And let's face it, the companies that leverage technology will outmarket and outsell their competitors. If you need help with all of this technology to make sure you're maximizing your sales and marketing efforts with technology, then Ron Willie and One Down Consulting is your partner. They can really make sure that you are maximizing your sales and marketing technology strategy, your sales process, your marketing and sales alignment. They have implementation of tools for marketing automation, Salesforce automation, CRM, and so much more. I really encourage you to go to onedownconsulting.com to learn more, and or just reach out to me and I'll connect you.
The following message is about Medicaid and CHIP, free or low-cost health coverage for kids and teens. Enrollment is open year-round.
Hey, voice lady, give me the mic.
Okay.
Hey, DJ, let's switch up the music. That's better. So listen up, moms and dads out there. There are these programs called Medicaid and CHIP. They offer free or low-cost health coverage for kids. Things like doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and shots are covered. All the stuff that keeps kids like me healthy and in charge.
So, as you can tell, a covered kid is a confident kid. And it means confident parents, too. To learn more about affordable health coverage for your family, visit healthcare.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669.
Yep, you could do something big for your family today because enrollment is open year-round.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And Sophia.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Bomano, your host. I'm here with a great Rochester entrepreneur here today, Greg Lederman, founder, CEO of Brand Integrity. So, Greg, we're talking about just the beginnings of your company, how you really learned firsthand buying Buckman's ice cream bakery, which was suffering, turning it around without any, you know, rocket science, crazy voodoo techniques. It was just like, how can we make the customer really happy, right?
Yep.
And it was like you said, getting to know them, calling them by name, knowing their order in advance. And when you see them walking down, hey, got your black raspberry sundae all ready to go, you know? Almost like Cheers with Norm, you know, Sam knew he wanted a beer. It was ready to go, right?
Exactly.
And then taking those lessons and really turning them into a business to help other businesses learn about how they could compete in today's marketplace by just really having great experiences when doing business with your company. So Brand Integrity, what were some of the first things that you did to create a product that people would want to engage with you?
Well, I think the first thing we did was realize that everybody wants to have a great customer experience, right? Or at least a good one. There's some industries where they go, look, we just have to be good. I've had CEOs say, we need to suck less than everybody else and we will do really well here.
Right, yeah.
but in general, let's just assume you want to have a really good, if not great, customer experience. And then they start talking about external branding. We got to brand ourselves. We need to have the right message out there. And they're simply taking the wrong approach, because it doesn't matter whether you design all your customer touch points out with the right behaviors behind them, and you come up with the perfect visual brand identity and the messaging and communications to them. At the end of the day, all our businesses, for the most part, are powered by people. Right? So we're powered by humans that actually have to keep those promises. You can't achieve brand integrity, be who you say you are, without people. So what we did at Brand Integrity is we said, let's take a step back and look at what is it that gets people to perform better at work. And it turns out there's 80 years of research on this subject. And I found it really fascinating, because not only that, when you start to really Google it and look into the research, you go all the way back to the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, they say the same things from study after study. There's a book that I tend to bring on my speaking engage with me. It was 1959. It was published. It was a 4-year study. The name of the book is called Motivation to Work. That's it. They were literally a 4-year study, which is not easy to do back in the 50s. They're trying to uncover one thing: what causes people to be more motivated at work? Simple as that. And they came up with a result that was far and away stronger than everything else. It was feeling recognized for doing a good job and feeling like I'm achieving some sort of success. That was the big finding in 1959. They cited
it wasn't money.
It wasn't money. By the way, it was like money was like 75% lower rated than these top two things. Mm. But that was not at all an anomaly. They cited 124 previous studies, previous to 1955, that all said the same thing too, that there's certain innate things that people crave, okay, which is why I named the next book that I've got called Crave. But it doesn't stop there. It gets even more exciting for research junkies like myself, because while I'm talking about studies from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and into the 60s, there are a couple of guys right here in Rochester that are truly the pioneers on the study of what causes humans to be motivated at work, at home, just in general, what causes motivation. Did you ever read the book Drive by Daniel Pink?
Oh yeah, years ago, yep.
Sure, it's still a bestseller. I was on Amazon the other day. It's number one, 7-8 years after it published, in occupation and organization.
Wow.
I mean, that guy is there selling millions of these books, right?
Yep.
It's called Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. They mention Edward Deci and Richard Ryan, two employees and professors in the psychology department at the University of Rochester. Ed's 75, I think, right now. Richard's in his late 60s. He mentions them in his book Drive 75 times by name.
Wow.
His entire book, which is one of the most sold books in business, is based on the theories that these guys have been developing over the last 40 years. Doing research, they started together in the late 70s, and in the 80s, the 90s, they literally have thousands of research studies have been done based on these guys' work. Further studies, all to prove that money's not a top motivator.
Yeah.
Their big theory is called self-determination theory, and it's based on three psychological needs that if humans get them, they'll be able to tap more into their personal motivation. And so what I did is I worked with these guys. I started interviewing Ed about 7-8 years ago, and I've studied their work. I've studied seen the studies that were done off of the offshoots of their work, and that's where we came up with this concept of Crave.
Yeah.
And we basically, the researchers do a good job uncovering what is it that causes motivation, but they don't do a great job of telling people how to actually use it. So we simplified it down to three things based on literally, to say 1,000 studies would probably be an understatement over the last 80 years, but there's three things that humans crave at work. If we give it to them, they're going to perform better. They're going to be happier, more motivated, more productive. First is show people you respect them, right? That's obvious. Show people you respect them for who they are and what they do. Second, help them see the relevance, the purpose, the meaning of their work, that what they do makes a difference, right? It's common sense, right? If you show people you respect them, help them see that what they do has meaning, they're probably going to be happier and more motivated.
They might be recognized.
Even
if it's just words, pat on the back.
Just like the 1959 book by this guy, Fred Herzberg, Motivation to Work. Recognition and achievement were the two main things. So not that different from my theory of respect and relevance and purpose. And then the third is relationship. So there's this cliche people like to use. People don't leave organizations. They leave their manager, which is true. Mm-hmm. But one of the top factors of whether someone's going to really be motivated is whether they think their manager likes them. So we've taken this concept of Crave, show people you respect them, help them see the purpose and meaning of their work, and build relationship with them as a manager and a leader. And we've built technology and consulting around helping managers to give that. And it works. Because the technology, we have really awesome technology. It has very little to do with improving the engagement level inside our clients. It's the usage of the technology.
It's the execution of it.
There's so many companies we meet and they go, oh, we bought a technology 3 years ago, just like yours. Great. How's engagement level?
Yeah.
How's your customer loyalty scores? How's the economic impact? Well, we don't know. I mean, only like 10% of our managers ever even use it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when you get that to 90%, it tells a very different story.
That's so fascinating. Remember that little coffee table book, Life's Little Instruction Booklet?
Yeah.
It was like big in the 90s, mm-hmm. I think. Well, the first, number one, Life's Little Instruction Booklet, number one tip in that book was a person's greatest need is to feel appreciated.
No doubt.
And it's not by handing them a $100 bill. Often it's just like, hey, Greg, I noticed what you did yesterday. That was super fantastic. Thank you so much. I just made your day, right? I mean, a little sentence like that. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and everybody will remain nameless, but she worked really hard on this event for this company. It was like her event, went out without a hitch, and she was pretty proud. Her boss sent out some thank yous to some of the support team, didn't mention my friend. It came from the boss, right? My friend was very demotivated. She was like, well, why couldn't that come from me? It was kind of my event. And she, you know, she gets paid well. It's a good company. But she just lost her mojo. And she's like off track just because a simple thing. She wasn't recognized for doing that event. And a simple thing like that, maybe her boss didn't mean to do it. Maybe it was an oversight. But a simple thing like that can really put somebody off the tracks, right?
Yeah, one of the challenges that we see in the marketplace is most leaders are not very good at recognizing their people. And they think it's about just a feel-good kind of thing to do, but they either are not good at it or they think they're good at it and they're not because it doesn't come across as genuine. So we focus
be sincere about it, right?
Yeah, we focus a lot on with the term strategic recognition. It's done in a way to give people what they crave, but it's also done in a way to help highlight how what they're doing is helping to drive growth for the business. Getting people to internalize and personalize more what it is they do that helps drive the growth of the business. And the reality is most people really suck at recognizing people. And I have proof of it. At every single speech, I ask the same question. How many show of hands, and I've done this at least 500 times. Show of hands, how many of you are really good at recognizing people and you do it often enough? And the most hands that's ever gone up in an audience was about 20%. It's usually about 5 to 10% of the hands go up. I throw them off with the often enough because people realize they don't do it often enough. They get so busy with their day-to-day. They've got this raging river of responsibilities that they've got to get through every day, and they just don't think they can take what I call 10 minutes by Friday. That's, as you mentioned, the subtitle of the book. 10 minutes by Friday is all it takes. Yeah. If a manager will take 10 minutes every week to stop, think about where has someone done something around here that's worthy of a little recognition, and whether they use an online social platform like ours or just write a thank you note once a week or just even stop by and share that with a group of people or an individual, 10 minutes by Friday, you will be doing an amazing job recognizing your people.
And it's not that hard to do.
It isn't, but at the end of the day, it's really hard to get managers to do it.
It has to be like intentional, instigative.
But they don't want to think that it's hard because then you're like saying I'm a bad person, I'm a jerk because I don't recognize people.
Right.
But the reality is the great majority of managers, if you're gonna define it that way, they are jerks. They are, because they're not doing that.
Yeah.
And if they know intellectually that they should and they continue to not do it, then you've got a problem on your hand. That's someone that shouldn't be managing humans.
Maybe they work at the zoo and manage the monkeys, right?
Exactly. It's not that hard, but I'll tell you what, we set it up as your goal is 10 minutes by Friday. If you only fulfill half your goal, you'll be doing a great job, we tell people.
Right.
And the reality is, you know, I probably only do it three times a month. You know, I miss a Friday every now and then where I don't go in and do a recognition on our platform, but I do it other ways throughout the course. It just becomes part of how you operate as a manager.
Yeah. Well, so when I had my magazine, I had about 16 employees, and so we had our core values, and I would make our monthly award based on who was living the core values, right? So, and then we would catch people in the act of living the core values. Yeah. We send an email out. Hey, Diana just did this, living this core value. Kudos to her, you know.
Love it.
And then I had my own personal, you know, Dave Mamano stationery. And I often would write just a simple note like, hey, congratulations, nice job. And I would leave it in their mailbox. I can't tell you, I would say almost 100% of them would get pinned up in their wall, taped to their wall. Like they would save that note. And I'm like, that took me a minute. I didn't have to use a stamp. Yeah, I just delivered it. Right?
We have complete strangers just email support at our office, which is for like if you're having a technical issue, just saying with a they'll forward like a run of the recognitions that they got, and they'll say, this is unbelievable, and this has never happened for me before at work. And they don't even know who we are. They just want to share their gratitude for the fact that there's a system in place they know we provide that helps them feel respected for the work they do and understand the difference that they're making.
Yeah.
You know, and so – you know, our mission here is make an even better place to work. And we have the technology and the tools around it that actually help us fulfill it. And that, that just feels good.
Very exciting.
You know, since we've been sitting here, that I can sit back and go, 1,000 people have been recognized for doing a good job.
Yeah.
And for and getting they're getting what they crave. That, yeah. that means a lot. Yeah. That has that's what it gets me out of bed
they're
and fired
their,
up every
getting
day.
Getting their fix, right? Yeah.
And not only that, think about this: if the managers are leading this, right? Because it's a peer-to-peer program, but it's management led.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a manager does a good job recognizing people, what do they get? They get what they crave. You feel more respected as a manager and leader because you know you're doing a better job. You feel the difference you're making at work and for that individual.
You feel good.
And you're strengthening relationships with people because you're taking the time. Again, 10 minutes by Friday, if you did it perfectly as a day of your time a year, if you add up a couple of weeks of vacation in there, you're building relationship because you're being a better
trusted
leader.
Well, the compound effect of that will be amazing after a year, right? So.
It's pretty remarkable. I'd love to celebrate some of our clients. We have a big professional services firm client right here in town. They have several thousand people. They're crushing it with this whole concept of giving people what they crave. Their engagement scores over the last 3 or 4 years of their employees are up about 40%. Their member loyalty scores, their customer loyalty scores are up. Financial situation is better than it's been in 20 years, we just learned the other day, and it's all connected and correlated to the amount of recognition that they're doing.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's really interesting. Only about half their managers are doing a great job.
Wow.
You know, good to great job.
Imagine if all of them, right?
That's the thing. That's what we tell people. Like, you don't have to even, like, some people are thinking, well, how could I implement a system like this? I got 50 managers, and how would I ever get them on board? You only need to get about 10 or 20 to start,
yeah.
And you'll be doing really great. And within 2 or 3 years, you'll have 30 or 40 of that 50 that get it and are starting to apply.
See the results.
And then you'll be seeing the results in a big way. Well, you'll never get everybody.
Yeah.
You'll never get everybody because not everybody's a believer.
Yeah.
You know, I call them recognition results believers, and then there's the recognition results doubters. The doubters are tough to convert. It's just not part of their DNA.
Have them look at Wegmans, right? Wegmans, they'll be the first to say, no. We don't put customers first.
Yep.
We put our employees first. And maybe Robert Wegman said it. I read somewhere, and I think it's a really good quote, that your employees will never treat your customers better than management treats the employees.
Yeah. Right? I love it. That was I think that was a Robert Wegman. And Danny Wegman's been known to say, if you want to be a great place to shop, you have to be a great place to work.
Yeah.
Which is right on, you know, and we've had the chance to work with them early on with defining this concept of incredible service with them. And they're just an extraordinary organization. And people in Rochester, New York here and in the Northeast, I know they continue to spread even further, are just totally spoiled by having an organization like that that's able to take this concept of giving people what they crave across 50,000 people. Not easy to do. I mean, it's a lot easier. You got 50 people or 500 people, but 50,000 people, you got to have the right system in place. There's no magic fairy dust for them. They have a process and a system that they execute upon.
It is in their DNA. It's in their DNA at this
by
point,
design.
Right? Yeah.
I always say it's by design. It's not by chance.
It's top down.
Yeah.
I might have told you this phrase before, a Sicilian phrase that the fish rots from the head down, right?
Okay, that's a good one. I like that.
And conversely, if the fish is healthy from the head down, there goes the rest of the organization. So,
very well said.
I want to put that in your PowerPoint. Right?
Exactly.
So,
okay, I already see the image.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Greg, we are going to take a quick break. I'm here, Greg Lederman. If you're just tuning in from Brand Integrity, we'll be right back.
Join Fox News' Brian Kilmeade weekdays from 9 to noon on 1310 WOKR.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey guys, check out my new video game. Pew,
pew. Wait, Mom, what?
Huh? What? Hold on.
What'd you say?
Wait a sec, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Last night we put on an epic light show.
Yeah, we did.
The crowd loved us. We love the crowd.
Wait, but there were only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? All eight of their eyes lit up brighter than ours. And we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, that one girl, she looked like she'd never seen glow-in-the-dark like this before, and we invented glow-in-the-dark.
Yeah, we invented it.
And we're gonna be out here every night rocking out our light show at a forest near you.
Woohoo!
So come check us out.
Check us out.
And bring your kid. All ages show. Oh, but don't bring any of those glass jars because they make us kind of nervous.
Yeah, and I'm super claustrophobic.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you and discover other cool things to do when you go, like fishing, biking, or even camping. Visit discovertheforest.org.
See you later.
Yeah, see you soon.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
How are you? It's been so long. Are you back for good? What's going on?
Hey, good to see you. Yes, I'm back for good and just trying to get my life back together.
Well, I'm so happy that you're home. It looks like things are going well. I've been seeing those pics you post of you and your family at all those fun events. What gives?
Oh, VetTix. VetTix gives.
What's VetTix?
VetTix is an amazing charity that gives free event tickets, like concerts, sporting events, and shows, to currently serving military vets and their families, and to the immediate families of troops killed in action. It's a really nice organization.
That is so nice.
These events have helped me feel like myself again, and all these new happy memories my family and I are making are priceless.
We have extra tickets sometimes. Can I donate them?
Yes, it's easy. Just go to vettix.org. You can give your extra tickets, and other vets like me can sign up to get them.
Awesome. I love that idea. What a great way to give back. I'm so glad you told me about it, and it was amazing to see you. And listen, thank you for your service.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.
We are back for the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano talking to Greg Lederman from Brand Integrity. We're talking about what he does as a company, and the super hyper focus is to really engage the team. I almost feel bad calling employees after talking to you, like the team, the family, right? Giving them what they crave, which is not always money. In fact, money is usually lower on the list. They want the respect. They want the recognition. They want the ability to really do a good job and be recognized for that good job in different ways than money. Money, from what I understand, a certain, you know, Daniel Pink, you get to a certain base level of salary and they're satisfied. Like, okay, then they crave more, right? And then what are those things? So
here's what's really interesting about that. I just had met with the board of a company this morning, and what I shared with them was, look, money is not the primary motivator, never has been, never will be. There's decades and decades of research to show that. The people, they crave feeling respected, they want to understand the purpose of their work, they want a good relationship with their boss. And I highlighted for them a study that was done across 18 different countries, just to prove that it's not just a U.S. thing. This isn't just an American thing. And a study on 18 countries on what motivates people at work, and money was only in the top three in one country, China, and it was listed third. Okay, so 17 countries did not have money as the primary motivator. Yeah. But to your point, Dave, you have to pay people at least the market wage for what they do. In today's day and age, unless you have a job that like robots are doing, you can go online and you can figure out what should I be making based on my geographic location and the role that I play in the industry I'm in the job that I have. You can figure out what the hourly wages or the salary average is. Anybody can figure that out. So what that means is if you're not paying the market wage and you're not giving people what they crave, you have a crappy experience for your customers at worst to just highly inconsistent at best. And you're losing on both ends. So you got to pay people at least the market wage. But there's so many companies that are paying more. They're paying a lot more because they have to, because they aren't getting their managers to give people what they crave. So you have to pay people more money to get them to come to work every day and produce inside your organization. It doesn't have to be that way.
Interesting.
It does not have to be that way. Wegmans has never been known, we were talking about them before, as they're paying more per cashier than their competition.
That's not what they're known for.
No. And they're not, and by the way, they're not doing that.
Yep.
They're not. But they're creating an environment where people want to come to work and produce. And they're happier. They're more productive because they're getting what they crave from managers. So at the end of the day, we started this thing talking about how branding and going out to the marketplace with these marketing messages and making all these promises that your people are not empowered or motivated to keep. They can't keep these promises. That recipe doesn't work. That recipe doesn't work at all. You've got to engage your people to want to deliver upon the promises that the marketing's making. And it lives and dies. The success of any program you're implementing, whether it's a branding program, a customer service program, or maybe you brought in some consultants to do an operational efficiency program or a safety program, any behavior-based program where you need people to act a certain way, you can't optimize the implementation without management. Without your frontline supervisors, managers, and your executives. So we always say, look, any program implementation lives and dies with those frontline managers.
All about execution.
They have to be the ones who inspire getting it done, implementing, and giving people what they crave. That's the way to do it.
So we talked about, before we did the interview, we talked about the money being spent on workplace culture development, we'll call it, I guess, right? It's gone up billions, right, over the past 10, 15 years. Yet the level of satisfaction with employees has pretty much remained stable.
Employee engagement. So Gallup started this whole thing in 2000. They went out and did the first, that to my knowledge, the first employee engagement study, where engagement of employees is really trying to uncover the factors of motivation and commitment. Are they motivated? Are they committed? And they produced this study that just shocked people. They said, look, folks, in America, 2/3 of Americans are not qualifying as engaged at work. 2/3. You got about 1/3 of the everyday workforce are truly motivated and committed at work. So that was year 2000. I started Brand Integrity in 2002. Built a big slide that's, with, you know, 2/3 not engaged at work, right? That was one of my first PowerPoint slides. Mm. We still use the exact same slide today.
2/3.
It has not changed. It's fluctuated from its low, I've seen it as 29%, to as high as 33%. But it's still about 1/3 of your workforce is engaged at work on average. 2/3 not engaged. And there's lots of other organizations, research organizations like Gallup, that produce these kinds of studies. So let's just say the last 17 years, completely flat employee engagement in our society. But to your point, what are we doing to fix the problem? Right now, people are trying to throw technology at it, which is crazy because it doesn't work. Right? And here I am. I have a technology company. Brand Integrity is a software company that provides engagement as a service to the marketplace. But what's interesting is in 2013, I think it was $3.8 billion was spent on technology to fix the engagement problem. These are companies across America buying technology that's supposed to help them hire better, do better performance reviews, recognize their people more, do surveys to get their feedback. All these things are so in the spirit of trying to make a better place to work and create more engagement. Then in 2014, it went to like $4.5 billion. Then in 2015, it went to like $5 billion. This year, they're estimating $7.8 billion will be spent in 2017 on technology to improve the engagement problem.
Wow.
And the engagement is still flat again. Gallup just did their 2017 State of the American Workforce, and 33%, I believe it was, of the American workforce qualifies as engaged.
It's like they're buying billions of treadmills for all the employees, but no one's using it.
Exactly. Well, and the usage,
you gotta use it, right?
Dave, you're hitting on the exact point. It's about using it. So one of my favorite slides to present is that spending pattern where you got that graph going up and billions being spent, and here's our flat line in employee engagement. Yet when we run the same kind of an analysis across our Brand Integrity clients, so our clients are deploying this CRAVE principle with some social recognition technology and some employee and customer surveys behind it. When we look at our clients' employees, 91% of them across 20 different industries, 91% qualify as engaged, the way that Gallup is looking at engagement. So what are they doing that's different?
Right.
They're using the technology. If we didn't have the ability to inspire managers to actually do this concept of 10 minutes by Friday, the engagement level would probably be just like everybody else.
Right.
But and even in like hard to do type industries from an engagement perspective, like heavy equipment manufacturing, 89%. That's our lowest industry engagement level is in the upper 80%.
Wow.
How are they able to get almost three times the amount of engagement from their people? It's because they get managers, those frontline supervisors all the way to executives, to give people what they crave.
Once again, that fish, right? Rise from the head down.
Exactly.
Or it's a fish from the head down.
Exactly.
So really, from my perspective, for you, I'm sure you're looking at, all right, we're talking, they're going to probably, you know, next year, maybe it's $10 billion people are going to spend. You just want 10% of that market, right? You'll take that.
Exactly. And there's a lot of people interested in it. I mean, there's not a week that goes by that's not someone's not reaching out about wanting to partner or do something together, because people get, we've got to do something. We have to figure out a way to get more out of our people. In fact, we just, I was telling you the other day, when we were planning for this interview, that we just are launching a joint venture with the Bonadio Group here in town, which we started about a month ago, in a joint venture where we can go into organizations together to talk about how to monetize the results of employee engagement. So if you're giving people what they crave and you get your managers to do it, our clients are able to monetize those results by looking at lower turnover, better quality outcomes, improved safety records over time, which lowers insurance premiums, in addition to driving increased customer retention, increased spend per customer or client, improved profitability in the business.
Yeah, it's funny. Some people, some CEOs think this is like the soft stuff, right?
Oh, exactly.
If we have the time to do it. But once again, go back to Wegmans. Like, I think they've proven that you can make money with these concepts, right?
No question.
What are they? A multi-billion-dollar family grocery store has done quite well with putting people first, right?
Yep. No question about it, which is why we're psyched about the partnership with Bonadio Group.
Yeah, that's great.
Because these are accountants and consultants that they're coming at it from the left-brain perspective for the most part about let's show how we can dot I's and cross T's on whether this actually drives better financial outcomes. And we've proved it with so many different clients over the years that it's a natural fit for us to work together to be able to help their clients as well as ours to monetize those results and show that the investment in your people has a really strong ROI to it. And it's not just something anecdotal, like it feels better around here. Yeah. No, we're actually driving cost out of the equation. I mean, we have a client in the healthcare space that was really, really, really frustrated with the amount of nursing turnover, right? I mean, if people want to get a job as a nurse, that's not that hard to do these days. You go to nursing school, you come out, you do a good job, you say, I'm a nurse, and there are plenty of jobs out there. I mean, it's very hard to keep nurses. So they called us and they said, we've got to do something. We're losing too many nurses. I'm giving you this as an example of how to monetize results. We said, well, look, what's the biggest pain point? They said, well, it's the fact that we lose them in those first 6 months. We train them, and then within 6 months, they leave. In addition to just nurses leave in general. But that first 6 months, we're losing a ridiculous amount of nurses across our healthcare system. So we said, all right, well, let's do this. Let's refocus the nursing managers and staff on the idea of capturing examples of where we're living our values and share those. And then let's make sure that we when nurses are onboarded, they get recognized a few different times using these tools and the technology that we have. Over a 2-year period of time, they increased the amount of recognitions for nurses by, it was like 130 some odd percent. I think it was 133%. Nursing turnover in the first 6 months went down 45%.
Wow.
Saving them millions of dollars. Overall, across the entire enterprise, nursing turnover in general in 2 years went down 29%. Now, was it the only reason? No, probably not. But I asked, you know, when we were going through these results with them, did you do any additional training? Did you increase their pay? What did you do? They said it was really just a focus on making sure they understood the difference they were making.
Right. So that totally proves the point that if done correctly, it's a money-making concept.
Huge,
right?
Money-making
money
concept.
Money-saving and money-making. Great. We got about 4 minutes left already, believe it or not. This is probably my quickest interview ever, it feels like, because I love what you're doing. I mean, you know, I wrote a book called Make Love in the Workplace, and I'm all about this concept. I'm drinking your Kool-Aid for a long time now. But from a business person perspective, so you started from scratch. You built a great company. I'm in your office right now. It looks like a New York City ad agency. Very cool. Dozens of people, you know, working, bustling around. You're right downtown East Ave, a hub of really a lot of great things going on. What are you now as a business owner, what do you spend most of your time doing? What is the most efficient use of Greg Lederman's superpowers so that this company continues to grow and thrive?
Yeah, I don't get to spend as much of my time as I used to on actually working on clients. I'll be honest, I miss that at times. I spend most of my time out speaking on the subject matter and just helping to manage the day-to-day of the business, you know, and get in as much client activity as I can. You know, as the company grows, you don't get to spend, you know, as much quality time with those folks. We got a great team of people here that do great work. So I just finished writing another book, you know, as you mentioned. So Crave's going to come out in 2018. The manuscript is actually being delivered to our staff today, which is a really exciting day for us.
Yeah.
So I'm focused on, you know, obviously thought leadership with this, but just making sure that that clients are implementing. I probably spend a third to half of my time just connecting with clients on their business results, as well as, you know, when I say business results, how is the data from our platform influencing their results? And then I probably spend about half my time just on day-to-day management of the firm.
Yep. So speaking, I've seen you speak. Very good speaker.
Oh, thank you.
At the Chamber of Commerce event last year, which was phenomenal. It was a great crowd, too. You're probably used to those big crowds, though, but I thought it was a very engaged crowd. We were craving more.
You see,
like I'm working all your titles in here.
Yeah, there you go.
But is that a marketing tool as well? Like when you go to Cleveland to speak at a conference, you'll get customers from there.
That has been a primary driver over the years. I'm doing a lot more speaking at client sites just because our mission is making a better place to work. We can't do it unless people use the technology the right way.
Yeah.
So every chance I get where I can be in front of an existing client engaging with their managers, I'm taking advantage of that opportunity. But yeah, it's definitely conferences, industry events, as well as prospective companies that are having manager meetings. You know, they're bringing their 500 managers together or their 50 managers together, whatever it is. They usually want to have somebody that can come and try to inspire them. I'm very careful, though, to make sure that it's not just an inspirational speech. I give them the 10 minutes by Friday recipe. I teach them the habit so that they can actually go do it. They don't need our technology to do it. They can just go apply the principles with anybody's technology or just do it in an offline world.
Yeah. Oh, well, that allows them to take the puppy home and then they want to keep it. They want more, right?
Yep.
So that's fantastic. Well, Greg, if anybody is totally inspired, which really, how could they not be at this point? How do they get in touch with you, your company, to either bring you in as a speaker or learn more about your software and your whole process?
So there's two websites that are the easiest. You go to greglederman.com for the speaking site, and then brandintegrity.com for our employee engagement company.
Very good. They can email you from there. The whole works.
Absolutely. Speaking. And it's just glederman at brandintegrity.
Right. All right.
Brandintegrity.com.
Right. Well, Greg, thank you very much. Totally appreciate your time. I know you're a man on the go. It was tough to pin you down for this, but I appreciate it. And you're probably going to run off right after this and go make something happen. But I really appreciate your time, and thanks for doing the show.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Excellent. We'll have you back in a year or something.
Okay? That sounds good.
And thank you, Avanti listeners, for listening to the show. Hope we taught you something today. That is the goal. Avanti means move forward in Italian, and that's what we aim to do. If you or someone know would like to be considered to be on the show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com, and that's M-A-M-M-A-N-O. Make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com and or avantientrepreneurgroup.com. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.